Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presents Him as a sacrificial sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice in the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? He is not the God. Is He not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, we then nullify the law by this faith. Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You know, we have made a few changes in the church, and I realize we probably should have made some more because you all like them so much. And I want you to know that the changes are done for now. Yeah, I can do that. I'm sure that as time moves forward, we'll stop and we'll regroup. We'll stop and decide what kind of changes we'd like to make. But for now, we're going to see how all this is going to work. And so this morning, I thought I would start out our recalibration, or whatever you want to call it, with a series on membership. Because as a church, I think from time to time, we need to stop and actually look at ourselves and see exactly what we believe as members. What we said that we believed at the time we became members. And hopefully, between the time you became members and now, the authorities to be haven't changed it on you. But this morning, we're going to start out with the idea, do you have the assurance that God has given your sin, that God has forgiven your sins through faith in Jesus Christ? Is that how you feel today? Is that what you actually live by? As I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, I might ought to save this until later in the month, you know, closer to Halloween. Because as Christians, we tend to put on a face or a mask. And we tend to try to be a better Christian than maybe we really are, or at least look that way. Sometimes we make believe that we are what maybe we are not. And so this morning, I want us to think about the assurance of knowing you're ready to go. As I look around the world today, and I listen to preachers on the radio and such, you know, they're all deciding, you know, we had this big, massive tsunami last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and now we have upheaval all over the world, and you know, everybody says the time is getting shorter. Well, it's God's time. It may or may not be getting shorter. It's God's plan. The funny thing is, when He sent the Israelites to Egypt. He said, you'll be there 40 years. When Christ went to be with the Father in heaven, he kind of forgot to tell us how many years he was going to be gone. So we have no idea. But the point is, do you have the assurance that you're ready to go? If he came back this morning and walked down the aisle, blew the back of the church out, would you be ready? Is your life in order? Or are you going to be like the bridesmaids and wishing somebody would loan you a little oil so you could trim your lamp? Maybe there's a few things you'd like to change. Well, I don't want us to be there. I want us to know and be assured that we are ready. That we have the hope that God gives us. So this morning I want us to kind of think about that. And I thought we'd start out by understanding what assurance is. Well, I looked around the internet and I found assurance is nothing like what I thought it was. So I had to go back to Webster's dictionary because I didn't like none of the other ones because they didn't fit my sermon very well. So assurance, according to Webster, the state of being assured, such as of being certain in mind, the Puritan's assurance of salvation. Do the Puritans have more assurance than we do? I hope not. The confidence of mind or manner. Easy freedom of self-doubt or uncertainty. Something that inspires or tends to inspire confidence. The act or actions of assuring someone of something. And that might be the most important part right there. Assurance from someone. Throughout the Bible, throughout his walk on the earth, that was Christ's whole idea. That's what he came for. To help us to understand what it might be like to be followers of Christ. To teach us what it means to be a part of the kingdom. To make sure that we realize what adoption was, what salvation is, but most of all, where it comes from. Salvation isn't something that we can just go out and buy off the Dollar General shelf. It's not something that we can go to Barnes & Noble and find a book and read up on it. Not that there isn't a self-help book on salvation, trust me. There's only one. There's only one worth reading. And some of them look just like this. That's your self-help book. The rest of them look like this. No matter how you read your Bible, that is where we're going to find that hope that we're looking for. That's where we're going to find that thing that helps us know that we're ready to go. You know, I was at the football game Friday night. And when it started, it was a beautiful game. And about 2 minutes in, the weather changed. And it became not so beautiful game. It got kind of cold, I thought. But you know, as they were practicing, as they were warming up, as they were getting ready, I leaned over and was talking to somebody beside me, and I says, they'll never make it tonight. And he looked at me and he says, why do you say that? I says, they're not ready. They were out there scrimmaging, and they were jumping off sides. They were missing their holes. They were stumbling over themselves. They weren't ready. Up here, they didn't have the assurance that they could come out and win a game. Up here, they were not ready. I have never seen a team come out and scrimmage themselves and jump off sides before a game. You know what? They never jumped off sides once during the game. And that's where they should have jumped off sides. That's where they should have had everything ready. That's where they should have put all their thinking. But they didn't. No, they had psyched themselves out before the game ever started. Oh, by the time the second half rolled around, they actually looked like they could have played with them had they had that kind of thought process. But by then it was too far, too late. Are we that way? Are we ready? Do we have that hope that only comes from Christ? You know, we tend to like to look at others, so to speak, to see how we kind of see where we ought to be. We find that person around us that's a little better than us, or acts a little better than us, or maybe quotes more scripture than we can, or looks like they're walking a little closer to the Lord, and we kind of judge ourselves against that. But I'm here to tell you that that doesn't give you assurance. Anytime we have to stop and judge ourselves through someone else, we have no assurance. If you have to look at your life and someone else's and deem you're okay because they look like they are okay, that's not assurance. Assurance is more than a thought process. We believe up here, faith comes from here. And the Bible doesn't say that in our mind we have to believe Christ died. Well, even the devil believes that. But to his dismay, he rose again. He lost. We have to have our assurance here no matter what's happening around us. When the whole world is falling, our world is falling down around our feet, the only real hope and assurance comes from here. Because we truly believe that Christ died on a cross for us. Not for that person that we look at and say, they're such good Christians, I wish I could be like that. True assurance comes when we have the ability to be humble and not just be that person that can get along with everybody, not just that person that can reach out and help everyone, but also that person that's willing to listen, that willing to be taught, that person willing to hear God any moment God speaks. Because trust me, on Sunday morning, if that's where you're listening for God, you're not going to make it. There's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If the only place you're hearing from God is in this building, or somewhere else on Sunday morning, there is no hope. There is no assurance. We have to believe day in and day out that Christ died on a cross for our sins. As Paul says, for the Gentiles too, we were lucky enough to be added in. We were lucky enough to be allowed to be part of the family of God. God has called us to be Christians. God has called us to be His followers. And we get assurance by knowing that He died for us. Not suspecting that He might have. Not knowing He died. Not just knowing He died on a cross somewhere. But knowing He died for you. But we really need to be joyful. If you don't have true joy in your heart, I'm not sure you've got true hope. That's part of the gifts God gives us automatically. Nothing worse than a sourpuss Christian. You've seen them, right? Growing up as a kid, we had three or four of them. They was always right up there on the second row. Nobody sit in the front row. But them three little old ladies, they'd sit up there every Sunday. And you talk about a grumpy bunch. You hardly ever heard them say anything but amen during the prayer and during the sermon. The rest of the time they grumbled as they walked out of the church. And if some little kid dashed across in front of them, it was more than grumbling. I know, I used to do it on purpose. But, you know, that's the problem with getting to that place where we believe we're going. When we get to that place that we are good enough. When we get to that place that we're sure God would take us no matter what from this point on because of everything I've done. It doesn't work that way. If that joy don't stay with you, I'm afraid there's other problems. Because if you aren't joyful, there's no hope. And if there's no hope, there's no assurance. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't from time to time stop and look at our hearts and look at our lives and look at the things within us that actually make us who we are. But we're not all going to look alike. And once in a while, we're going to be kind of grumbly. Once in a while, things aren't going to go our way. But if for the most part we have hope, if we are teachable, if we are joyful, we can believe in our hearts that Christ died for us. We should have that assurance that no matter when He comes back, we're ready. I think as Christians, once in a while, we hope that we're ready. We hope life is ready for us. 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16 says, if I'm delayed, speaking of Paul going to see him, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillars and foundation of the truth. I'm sure that as the pastor, Timothy had to see the people around him for who they were. I believe as friends and neighbors, as fellow congregants, as the community of God, we do need to look at one another, to help one another, to make sure we can hold one another up, to pray for one another, to be ready to be helpful, to make sure they have that assurance that they need. Because it's partly our job. And as we do that, we'll bolster our own understanding of Christ and what it means to be a Christian, and bring joy to our hearts. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Christ came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." That's our last mile point we'll have today. When it's in your heart to actually disciple those around you, when it's in your heart to live a life that is able to be seen by others as what it is, a life of faith, a life of understanding, a life knowing full well that when Christ returns, you're ready. When your life is a mere image of what Christ would have it to be, you'll have assurance. But the beauty of that is, it'll speak volumes to those around you. You'll do those things that you believe God wants you to do that sometimes we don't do because it scares us. And that's to be disciple makers. To bring others to know Him. To understand Him. So this week, as we're out there in the world, as we're out there doing our jobs every day, as we're enjoying our assurance that we're ready to go, let's make sure that we reflect that love of God. Reflect that assurance that we are ready to go. As things fall in around us and our world seems to collapse, let's keep the joy in our heart as God walks us through and carries us from time to time. Let's be His people, fully understanding that we're ready, with the assurance and the joy that only comes from Christ. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to You and we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for watching over us. We thank You for being with us. We thank You for dying on a cross that we might have eternal life. Now help us to grow in You in such a way that You can help us to feel that we have that assurance in our hearts, that understanding to know that the joy is there no matter what life brings. Help us to be Your people. We ask this in Your precious name. Amen.